Bibles, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, we're going to begin reading at verse 1. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. We ask you to bless our ears to hear, our mind to understand, our heart to receive your word and what you have for us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, man put the chapter breaks in. God didn't. Although I've seen some pretty amazing things that make me think that God might have been involved. At any rate, chapter 12 continues the thought from Hebrews chapter 11. And in Hebrews chapter 11, we call it the faith chapter. It is about the heroes of faith. Now, when I was a kid, I had heroes. The Lone Ranger was one of my heroes. How many of you guys remember the Lone Ranger? You know, Hi-Ho Silver, right? Yeah, Lone Ranger is good. And, you know, he was a moral man. Sometimes he would quote the scripture. I remember him quoting from, I think it was Habakkuk, "Those that sow to the wind reap the whirlwind." He told some guy that. You know, there was some good morals in those days. But in the Bible, the heroes are the heroes of the Bible. And it talks about, by faith, Moses, by faith, Enoch, by faith, Abraham. And it tells us, in fact, the writer of Hebrews tells us he doesn't really have time to go through it all, so he says the time would fail me to tell of Barak and Gideon and Samson and Japheth, who through faith subdued kingdoms and wrought righteousness and obtained promise and closed the mouth of lions and out of weakness were made strong. And so he's kind of like sums it all up there. And then we get to chapter 12 and it says, therefore, we also, that means we're included in the heroes of faith, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with patience or with endurance the race set before us, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So it tells us two things to do: to lay aside the sins and the weights that so easily beset us. Have you ever tried to run with those little ankle weights on? You know, sometimes they use those to work out. Makes running a whole lot harder, doesn't it? Now, of course, the point of that is to build up your muscles. But sin, the weight of cares of the world, the weight of worry, those don't build up your muscles, unlike the ankle weights. In fact, they pull you down, don't they? I'd hate to have to go swimming with ankle weights on, wouldn't you? Chances are you might not make it to the other side of the pool or the river. And that's the way these weights that he's talking about are. Because we're encompassed with such a great cloud of witnesses, then we want to be like these heroes of faith. So we need to get rid of the weights. What are some of the kind of weights that we have? We have weights of worrying about financial problems. We have weights of worrying about, you know, loved ones. It doesn't mean we don't care. It doesn't mean we shouldn't pray for them, but we can't let them become weights. We have to trust God. We roll it on to the Lord. Let him carry those burdens. Amen? And then, of course, sin goes without saying. You know, sin is a cancer. Sin is a leprosy that eats away at our spiritual life. And then he tells us to look to Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Aren't you glad he not only wrote the book on faith, he wrote the last page of my life in advance? I don't know what the last page of the book of my life will be, but since Jesus wrote it, I know it's going to be good. Amen? Hallelujah. Then it tells us that as Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Who for the joy that was set before him endured. He endured. Now, be honest with me. You don't have to say what it is. How many since January have had some bad days? How many have actually shed some tears over some things? I think many of us have, haven't we? You know, I shared something on Facebook and my cousin Judy, and I'd actually thought about it, mentioned Jesus. And it all kind of tied with my message. So I said, yeah, I guess God was giving me an object lesson yesterday. I had a screwdriver, and I was trying to push this screw in where it really wasn't even supposed to go to lock something in place, and it slipped. And I jabbed the screwdriver into my hand, that meaty part there, the flesh. And my niece Judy on Facebook said, you're just trying to be like Jesus. Well, I wasn't trying to be like Jesus that way, and believe me, it was smarts. But Jesus endured some suffering that you and I have never even begun to comprehend. And it wasn't fun any more than this was fun. But it says, for the joy that was before him. See, I wouldn't want to be crucified. But if it was the only way I could be saved, I would let him crucify me. Because I know that my present suffering down here cannot be compared to the eternal glory I'll experience in heaven. Jesus let him crucify him not for his own salvation, but for the salvation of the entire planet, past, present, and future. Multitudinous millions allowed to come to heaven and live with God in his holy presence. And so, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the suffering of the cross. Despising the shame. Despising it. You know, it was a shameful thing. I mean, it was ripped naked. It was humiliating. No man has ever experienced the kind of humiliation as well as pain that Jesus experienced on that one day in history. But he did, for the joy that was set before him. Despised the shame. And now he's set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Verse 3, for consider him who endured. Consider him. Stop for just a minute. Those times I had you raise your hand, those times since January that you've had some rough days, those times you've shared some tears, and maybe you've even asked God, why? God, why are you letting me go through this? Consider him. Consider what he went through. Consider the tears he shed. Consider the pain he experienced. I would venture to say that his suffering was greater. Consider him who endured. That word endure, it's a verb, an action word, right? It's not passive. Enduring isn't passive, it's active. You have to choose to endure. It means suffer, something painful or difficult, patiently. I've seen people who've endured suffering but not patiently. I've seen people who are going through something, you don't know what I'm going through. That's not patient. That's whiny. So enduring is not only suffering, but it's suffering patiently. Synonyms include undergo, go through, live through, experience, meet, encounter, cope with, deal with, face, suffer, tolerate, put up with, bravely bear, withstand, sustain, weather through. He endured years of pain. It can also mean to tolerate, to bear, to put up with, suffer, take, abide, stand for, stomach. You ain't got the stomach for that. Sounds like a Western, doesn't it? Swallow, hold with. The antonyms, quit, give up. Aren't you glad Jesus didn't quit? I mean, the night before, he was praying, God, Father, if there's any other way, take this cup from me. You know, not only did he suffer physically, the sins of humanity began to be poured on him. I think it began that night before in the garden, as he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood, and he began to pray and feel the grip of sin that he had never felt before pressed down on him like 1,000 pounds per square inch, bringing him to the ground to his knees, and he prayed, "Father, take this thing from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." He didn't quit. Consider him. Now, since the Father didn't answer that prayer, he answered every other prayer Jesus had asked. He used him to open blind eyes, to heal lame, to raise Lazarus from the dead. And the one prayer he didn't answer was the one that Jesus said, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." He said, "If there's any other way." You know, there's debate among religious people on whether Jesus is the way. And if God is God of all of religions, and we know Jesus is the way, if Muhammad was the way, then he would have said, "Okay, you don't have to do this, Jesus. There's another way. We'll let Muhammad be the way." But he didn't, because there's no other way. Jesus had to endure the cross. Consider him. Many times you hear love songs and they will have the word endure in them. Our love will endure forever. The latest divorce statistics doesn't indicate that. Carolyn and I's love will endure forever. She's the best thing ever happened to me next to Jesus. Lasting, long-lasting, abiding, durable, continuing, persistent, eternal, permanent, unending, everlasting, constant, stable, steady, steadfast, fixed, firm, unwavering, unfaltering, unchanging, our enduring faith. Antonyms include fade or short-lived. So there's the two definitions of endure. And Jesus endured. Consider him. Now, verse 4 tells us, "You've not yet resisted the blood, striving against sin." That doesn't mean people haven't been martyred. It means it's not resisting against people. We've seen over the last couple of years Christians beheaded by ISIS in the Middle East. They've suffered to the point of blood, but this is talking about resisting against sin. Jesus sweat, as it were, great drops of blood as sin began to be set upon him. "You've not yet resisted against sin unto blood," striving against sin. "And you've forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as sons, 'My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you're rebuked by him, for whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives.'" I have a pastor friend of mine. A few years ago, I said, "The Lord really gave me a whooping over something I did, and I really needed to repent and apologize to this person." He said, "Well, Raj, that's a mark of sonship." Here, I was feeling bad because I had done wrong, and the Lord whooped me, and he reminded me, when the Lord gives you a whooping, that means you're his son. Because whom a father loves, he chastises. So the next time the Lord gives you a whooping or makes you feel like you're hanging over hell on a rotten stick because of something you've done, remember, that's a mark of God's love. What father doesn't want to chastise his kids to make them better kids? Can I get an amen? So if you endure chastening, God deals with you as sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Well, I don't want to be an illegitimate child. I want to be a son. You see, some of the tears that you and I have shared since January, you raised your hand to, some of them we brought on ourselves. And the reason why we were going through those tearful times is because the Lord was chastising us. Amen. whom a father loves, he chastises. God was giving us a whooping. And so we want to be partakers of God's beautiful, glorious image. We want to be like Jesus. So we got to take our whoopings. We got to endure. Furthermore, he said, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be subjected to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as it seemed best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be made partakers of his holiness. Don't you love it? Our dads would whoop us because they felt like they were needing to correct us, and that was what they were doing because of what they felt. But our Father corrects us so that we can be holy like him. Now, no chastening seems joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterwards, it brings the peaceable fruits of righteousness to whom they have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight the paths, so that what is lame may be dislocated, but rather be healed. Now, battles are not won in the natural, they're won in the mind. You're lied to by the devil in your mind. You're oppressed or depressed in your mind. You experience fear, loneliness, anxiety, doubt, unbelief. And Jesus experienced all this and more. Right here. That's where it all... He was nailed to the cross, but again, he was also fighting the battle right here, wasn't he? The same battle you and I fight. He resisted the blood, but we haven't. And so we are to consider him. Sometimes we experience chronic illnesses, depression, poverty, uncertainty. Revelation 21:4 tells us, God will wipe away all tears from their eyes, and they shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. What does that mean? It means just as Jesus, for the joy that was set before him, endured, then we look to heaven, don't we? For the joy that is set for us, we endure too. We consider him as our example. He endured for the joy that was set before him. We endure for the joy that's set before us. Amen? And God said he would turn it around. You know, that's the hope of every believer. Doesn't matter how deep I go, God said he would turn it around. Now, when will he turn it around? Well, that's the waiting period. That's the enduring period. Really, it doesn't matter when he's going to turn it around. We pass the test by enduring the waiting period until he turns it around. So, I have to recognize that it will turn around, but my eye is not on the turning around. My eye is on the enduring. Amen. I want to endure like Jesus. I'm going to go through this the way Jesus did, with dignity and faith in a God that is good, regardless of what my circumstances may be. Consider Joseph. Joseph in the Old Testament. Abraham had Isaac. Isaac had Jacob. Jacob had 12 sons. Joseph was the next to the youngest one. Benjamin was the baby. His brothers sold him into slavery. God, I thought you loved me. How could you let this happen to me? I didn't do anything wrong. You never see Joseph crying. He endured. Consider Joseph. They threw him in a pit first. We're going to kill him. Judah said, don't do that. This band of marauders are coming by. I call them flea market guys, right? They'll buy anything because they can sell it and make a buck off of it. Flea market guys, right? They yank him out of the pit and sell him to these guys. They go on to Egypt. He's in some kind of makeshift little wooden rickety jail in the back of a wagon watching his brothers fade out of sight. Endure. He gets to Egypt. God blesses everything he does, but every time he does something, something worse happens. Next thing you know, Potiphar's wife accuses him of rape. He goes to jail. God, how can you let it? Didn't do it. Endured. Consider Joseph. He endured. Didn't whine, didn't complain, kept his eyes on God, knew that he was innocent. You know, it's one thing to suffer for my own actions. It's another thing to suffer when I haven't done anything wrong. I mean, that just makes me spit mad. I don't know about you. I didn't do anything. How dare you do this? I want to talk to somebody. But Joseph endured. Consider him. And then, you know, the butcher and the baker is down there, and he interprets their dreams. And when the butler, not the butcher, the butler, getting nursery rhymes mixed up with Genesis, when the butler gets freed to go to pour wine for Pharaoh again, he says, remind him about me. And he forgets. He forgot. I'm in this jail. Nobody remembers me. But he endured. And then in one day's time, everybody say one day. One day's time, God turned it around. He interpreted Pharaoh's dreams and became prime minister of all of Egypt in one day, from a prison to a palace, because he endured. Consider him. In Genesis 50:20, he says, but as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. You know, the reason why you may be going through some of the things you're going through has nothing to do with you at all. It may have to do with somebody else that's watching you endure. And at the end, they may say, I want the Jesus you have. And until they see you endure, they may not know what Jesus looks like. Isn't it time that we learned to endure like Jesus did? Or consider Caleb. Remember, Joshua and Caleb were two of the 12 spies that Moses sent into the promised land to scope it out. But 10 of them came back with a bad report. There's giants in the land. We're like grasshoppers in their sight. This is scary. You know, sometimes life can be scary. You know, one end is fear, and at the other end is faith. And you got to decide which end of the spectrum you're going to live in. Amen, fear or faith. And you know, when they came out of Egypt, there was over 600,000 Jews. And God killed every one of them because of unbelief, except the ones that had faith. Moses, Joshua, Caleb, everybody else is dead. I'm not saying the whole nation. They had kids. Their kids went in the promised land, but none of those people of unbelief went in. So 40 years later, everybody say 40 years, what were these three men of faith doing? They were enduring. Again, it wasn't their fault. It was all the unbelief around them. So consider Caleb. He held on. He endured. He didn't quit. And then in Joshua 14, we read, nevertheless, my brethren, this is Caleb speaking, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. That's a message of endurance, isn't it? And Moses swore to me on that day, saying, surely the land whereon your feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and the children's forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord your God. Now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive, and he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spoke this word unto Moses while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day 85. He's 85 years old. And yet I was as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so my strength is now, for war both to go out and to come in now. Therefore, give me this mountain. Give me this mountain. Consider Caleb, now 85 years old, been 45 years. He's been praying for an answer to prayer for 45 years. Consider that next time you wonder why God hadn't answered your prayer. May not have anything to do with you. May have to do with the people all around you. The doubt, the fear, the unbelief. Until they're gone, God maybe can't answer that prayer. Or won't. But he said, I held on. I endured. I didn't quit. When others quit, I didn't quit. When others quit having faith in a God that answers prayer, I kept holding on, and I'm as strong today as I was then. Give me, therefore, this mountain. I love that. That's the kind of faith that receives. Give me this mountain. He said, verse 13, make the path straight. How do you endure? Well, you have some housekeeping to do. We talked about putting aside the weights and sins. You also got to make the path straight. If there's a crooked path, if there's a stumbling block in your life that may keep you from finishing the race, you get rid of the stumbling block. You make your path straight. You make sure that what you're doing is the straightest line to what you want. And then verse 14, he said, pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Jesus reminded us that when you pray, bring your gift to the altar, and you remember someone has ought against you, leave the gift and go make it right with God. You realize in the Ten Commandments, there's only four commandments that deal with our relationship with God and six that deal with our relationship with man. God is very concerned about you having peace with your fellow man. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up, causing trouble, and by this many become defiled. Is it easy to get offended and become bitter? Absolutely. We're told that the people that you love the most are the ones that hurt you the most. Your expectation is higher for them. Why would he do that to me? You know, if some Joe Blow on the street offends you, you can brush it off pretty easy. But when it's a son, a daughter, a mother, a father, a sister, a brother, someone that you look up to, a pastor, a best friend, it hurts. And you can become bitter. You can feel your jaws lock up. How could you do this to me? But this message is about finishing the race. It's about looking to Jesus. It's about the last chapter of my life. And so I have to make the crooked path straight. I cannot let a root of bitterness rise up that would defile me. For you know that afterwards... verse 16, lest any time a fornicator, profane person like Esau, who for the morsel of food sold his birthright. For you know that afterwards, when he wanted an inherited blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears. You know what this reminds me of? It reminds me of the story of the 10 virgins Jesus told. The five ones that are crying because the door is shut. There is no place for repentance after the rapture of the church, is there? Just like Esau, when he was sorry that he had exchanged his inheritance for his physical needs, physical desires, then there was no room for repentance, though he sought it with tears. Hallelujah. So I am to make a change in my life. I'm to make the path straight. I'm to fix relationships. I'm to look closely at myself. Amen. Because of what's at stake. verse 18. Come on up, Nola. For you have not come to the mountain that may be touched and that burned with fire and the blackness and the darkness, the tempest, the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, so that those who heard it begged that the word should not be spoken to them anymore. He's referring to the days of Moses when the fire burned on the mountain. For they could not endure what was commanded. And if so much as a beast touched the mountain, it would be stoned or shot with an arrow. And so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly am afraid and tremble. He said, but you didn't come to that mountain. That was scary. But you've come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly of the church of the firstborn, who are registered in heaven. Aren't you glad you've got your registration in heaven? To God, the judge of all, to the spirit of the just men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. So see that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven. Whose voice then shook the earth, but now his promise saying, yet once more I shall shake not only the earth, but also heaven. Now this yes once more indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken as those things that are made, that the things that cannot be shaken may remain. The things that cannot be shaken may remain. I believe before the Lord comes, there's a lot of shaking going to happen. Will you be shaken? Will you remain? Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace of which we may serve God acceptable with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. Amen. Let's all stand, shall we? I believe that we are very close to the second coming of Jesus Christ. We're about to experience a period of time that the Bible speaks more about than any other time in human history. Consider Jesus, who endured and go all the way. It tells us to lift our hands that hang down, to make straight the paths, to fix relationships, to look closely at your heart for any bitterness that may defile you. It tells us the consequences of not making these changes and what's at stake. What's at stake? Amen. Let's pray. Lord, there's some of us here that we've endured some hard times since the beginning of the year. We've shed some bitter tears. Maybe we've even asked some hard questions. God, how can you let this happen to me? But you've told us to consider him who endured. We've seen the pictures of people like Joseph and Caleb who endured. We've heard the testimonies of men of faith who've endured. And you tell us, Lord, that if the people didn't escape who saw and heard the voice from the mountain in the days of Moses, neither shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation. And so regardless of what the devil does, regardless of what man does, regardless of what the world does, Lord, help us from this day forward to endure as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Help us not to become bitter. Help us not to ask why, Lord, but to just wait on that day, for that day, when you turn it around, and we know you will. You're here this morning and maybe you've been going through some things and you say, Brother Roger, I need God to help me to endure. I need you to pray for me. Just slip your hand up right now. Pray for me, Brother Roger. God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else? I need prayer. Pray for me. I want to endure. I want to have the strength to endure these times that we're living. God bless you. God bless you. Come on forward, you guys. Anybody else? Let me pray for you. If you want to help us, come up and help us pray for these individuals. You know, God's will is for us to look, to smell, to be the fragrance of Jesus Christ in the last days. And you know, we've all had rough times, haven't we? We've all had times where we were having trouble enduring. That's what the brethren's for. That's what we're here, the body of Christ, is to lift up each other and pray that this anointing of the Holy Spirit would give us the grace to press on in those times of trouble. Amen. Praise God. Let's pray for these brothers and sisters. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just pray right now that you help us to endure, to go through, to hold on, to not quit, to consider what Jesus went through and remind ourselves that we've not yet resisted into blood, that we can do this thing, that with God's help we can do this. We won't quit. We will not quit. We will not quit. We're going through. We're going all the way. We're going all the way. God's going to turn this thing around. God's going to turn this thing around. I'm not going to whine. I'm not going to complain. I'm not going to quit. I'm going through. I'm going all the way with Jesus. I'm going all the way. I see he's my great example. Jesus is my great example, and he endured hardness that I have never even begun to comprehend. And so I know that he will give me the strength to endure. I know he'll give me the strength to go through, and I know that he'll help me to make those crooked paths straight, to make the right decisions, to do what he wants me to do, to be what he wants me to be. And I know that there is no temptation that is greater than what God can help me through. I know that he will help me through it. I know that he is my strength. He is my joy. He is my peace. Help me, Lord, to keep my eyes on him. Help me, Lord, to not look at the problem. Help me not look at the situation. Help me to look past it for that day when God turns this thing around. And for the joy that's set before me, the joy of the end, I will endure during. The joy of the end, I will endure during, in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, that I know that the whoopings I've gotten, the chastisement I've gotten, has been a mark of sonship, or in this case, daughtership. I thank you, Lord, that it is a reminder of how much you love Jonah, that every time you've ever corrected her, that it's a mark of your love. And that, Lord, because you love her, you have a plan for her life. And I know, Lord, that you're going to help her endure. You're going to help each one of these endure. And for the joy that's set before them, they're going to suffer with dignity the way you did, Jesus. The joy of when you turn it around, the endurance is going to be there. The confident assurance, the smile instead of tears. Though the storm may rage on the inside, the smile says by faith, God's got this. God's got this. God's got this. I know God's got this. And so I am enduring until the day that God turns it around. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. I'm enduring until the day God turns it around. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. What are we singing? Let's do a victory song.
Do the one that you like to do.
Which is what?
Victory is mine.
Victory is mine. Victory is mine. Victory today is mine. God told Satan, get thee behind. Victory today is mine. Everybody. Victory is mine. Victory is mine. Victory today is mine. God told Satan, get thee behind. Victory today is mine. One more time. Well, victory is mine. Victory is mine. Victory today is mine. God told Satan, get thee behind. Victory today is mine. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Victory, victory. God bless you. Thank you for coming. Give someone a big hug before you go.